Hey folks, it's King from Stay Tuned Sports, and I gotta tell you, I love energy drinks. They help give me that boost that I need to finish all my work, get through game film recaps from all of Sunday's games, and they provide that pick-me-up during a very long week. What I don't love is that crash and the jitters, the gross feeling you get with most other energy drinks. And that's why I tried Dubby, and I gotta tell you, Dubby is a game changer with flavors like Dragonade, Beach and Peach, Galaxy Grenade, and my personal favorite, the Dub Sludge. You can find your favorite or just get them all. There's no jitters, there's no crash, because there's no sugar in Dubby. Plus, Dubby contains Neurofactor, an all-natural ingredient derived from coffee cherries, which has been linked to enhanced brain function. You go on over to dubby.gg right now. That's dubby.gg to grab the best energy drink you've ever had. And if you enter the code STSPORTS18 in all caps, you'll get 10% off your order. That's STSPORTS18 to get 10% off of Dubby. Be better.
And fuck the Eagles. I hate the Eagles. Don't get me wrong here. First quarter, keep it even. Second quarter, start running the fucking ball. Third quarter, take a power nap. Fourth quarter, oh shit, there's the rest of the game. Let's go.
Fuck it, I'm a diabetic. I will root for the team that will literally give me diabetes and death. Rooting for a team from Hershey is like a Catholic rooting for Satan. It doesn't make any sense.
This is Stay Tuned Sports, and it starts in 3, 2,
And hello there, all you Stay Tuners. Welcome back to another episode of Stay Tuned Sports. Sugar Friend Jimbo here with our buddy King.
Hey, how you doing, everybody?
Just A, like, now, like, oh my God, we're back. Yay, the Eagles are awesome.
That's all I got. I'm tired. Well, we know that's not the case. We know, except at the goddamn draft, man. They always seem to, like, it's some kind of black magic that Howie Roseman seems to do. I don't know. My man, the Eagles always seem to end up getting, well, again, preliminary, because again, we're not it's the draft, and yeah. You know how I feel about the draft. You know how I feel about draft picks, about how it is a crapshoot, and it is. It's a crapshoot. It's 1,000% a crapshoot. We have no idea how any of these guys are going to do. We don't have any idea. Like, I mean, I've seen as many people say that Caleb Williams is going to be a bust. This says he's going to be a Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer. So I think that part of it is always, you know, iffy. So I've never been 1,000%, but the fact that the Eagles did get Quentin Mitchell, which that wasn't the one you were looking for. You wanted, what was it?
The Alabama one.
Terrion Arnold, yeah. And Detroit ended up getting him, which Detroit, again, is, you know, Dan Campbell should be in the Hall of Fame right now just for what he's done in the last 3 years in Detroit. Like, yeah. Let's be honest. So that's pretty incredible. But again, the Eagles, they get their guy. You get this generation's Jason Sehorn there. In Cooper DeJean, whatever. You know, you guys, you know, the Giants, I like our pick. I like that we went with a wide receiver. I like that, you know, kid seems to have a good head on his shoulders. I'm not going to say, I don't think he's a Kadarius Toney. I don't, you know, again, we don't know though. We don't know.
Yeah.
But like I said on draft night during our live stream, I think that shows that the Giants front office is prepared to go into the season with Daniel Jones as the starter. Now, it depends on how his rehab goes, if he's actually going to start the season. If not, if they're going to go with Drew Lock, I think that might be another question where some people were like, oh, maybe he's going to quarterback just in case. I'd rather start Drew Lock than a rookie quarterback out of the gates anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's either here or there. But I think it shows that, you know, listen, their jobs are on the line.
Yeah.
And they're willing. Pick. Yeah. And they're, well, the pick, I think it's, I think this pick is fine, but I think their jobs are on the line in the fact of they're going to run with Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Like, that seems to be what they want to do. So I'm okay with that. Like, that to me gives me confidence. At least we know, you know. And you know me, I'm a big DJ supporter. Love Danny Dimes. So I'm glad to see that. The rest of the draft, there was a couple of, you know, it was kind of a boring draft, to be honest. Outside of one pick, which seems to have everybody talking. And in the moment, me and you were having a conversation about it where I was kind of defending it. And I still kind of am. Like, I understand the point and the reason people are confused, if not upset by it. But I get it, and I kind of, you know, like I kind of logic it out a little bit. It's like I can see what they were thinking. I can see what they were doing. Maybe you don't do it there.
Yeah.
But and of course we're talking about the Falcons picking big Penix energy there, Michael Penix Jr. At 8 after signing Kirk Cousins to $180 million contract, $100 million of which is guaranteed.
Yeah.
And
I think they said...
And also so, not telling him about it. Yeah. You know, that's also another thing.
I think they also said, it might have been Ian Rappaport, like one of the bigger writers out there, said the contract that he did sign is basically a two-year deal because the guaranteed money is in the first 2 years, and that third year is like it's like $10 or $14 million that's guaranteed. So they could take a... They could be willing to take the cap hit in the third year.
It could. If they don't do the third year, if they end up doing that, it ends up being like $90 million guaranteed. But that's still a lot of money.
Yeah.
You're still... That's $45 million guaranteed over the next 2 years, plus whatever incentives if the Falcons do anything. Like I said, I understand the thought process. And I loved Penix. I really did. Coming out, like, if the Giants would have picked him, I would not have been upset by it, as having him kind of wanting to do the same thing with him. Sit him down, let him absorb the speed of the game, get into NFL, you know, an NFL mindset, get an NFL quarterback room, get an NFL playbook, and kind of just absorb it for that year, year and a half, 2 years, and then go out there. He is 24 years old, though.
Yeah.
As some people are trying to say, well, he's already, you know, old, I guess, you know, as NFL standards go. And if Kirk's contract plays out the way that, you know, it would logically play out, he'd be 27 before he was able to start.
Yeah.
That being said, that may not be a bad thing. Like I said, and the Falcons even did quote or, you know, cite the Packers and how they've handled things both with, you know, the Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers transition where Rodgers sat for like 3 years behind Brett Favre. And then the same with Jordan Love. And we saw Jordan Love did very well this year. I'm not going to sit here and say Jordan Love is a Hall of Famer by any stretch of the imagination, but Jordan Love is a hell of a lot better now than he was when the Packers first drafted him.
Yeah.
And I think we can all see that. So, again, I see where the Falcons were coming from. I think could you have maybe traded back a couple picks, maybe to the Jets, maybe to, you know, with the Vikings and still haven't gotten Penix? I think so. In which case, you could have either traded back, you could have gotten another pick, you could have gotten, your defensive needs and better defensive players, plus also get Penix, considering how most people were seeing him on that board. But apparently there was rumblings. If you listen to Rappaport, if you listen to Schefter, you listen to some of these guys, there were rumblings that Penix was going to go higher than people thought, which is why I think the Falcons jumped on him.
Yeah. And I, you know, you said about dropping back in the Jets. There is a video out there of Joe Douglas in the draft room.
Love it.
Saying about how the Falcons, I guess, called them and said, you know, we're going to take Penix here at 8. But if you're willing to trade the 10th pick, and really they were only using it as a smokescreen to take Penix at 10 and get the edge rusher, I think there was an edge rusher they wanted at 8, but the Jets never traded it. So. They went with Penix.
So they did, and that's what I mean. Is like there seems to be, I don't know if the price was too high. We didn't get to hear the other end of that conversation with Joe Douglas. We were on the cell phone. By the way, love that. Need more of that.
Yes.
Need more of the war room film coming out and seeing what the conversations are, who's calling who, and
did you see,
who knows what when. Like that stuff is great. I love that.
Did you see, it may have been day two or day three. There's I think Pollard was the GM, I think for Indianapolis maybe. He used to, it was a draft, not necessarily day one draft day, but like a draft day, prank, yearly prank he would do. And when, whatever team would be on the clock, he would call and just say, "Hey, what's up?" When they're like trying to work deals and
I did see that. I do remember seeing that. Yeah,
I was dying laughing when I saw it. I'm thinking, man, like you saw the one with Joe Douglas just pick up and just hung back up and they're like, "What'd you do?" It's Pollard. It's his yearly thing. The one thing I was surprised about before the second round started, but like leading up to it, I'm surprised the Penix story was so much bigger of a story than what the Buffalo Bills did in the first round, trading to Kansas City to help them out and get a speed wide receiver.
Again, but okay, so I think on the surface everybody looked at that at that time and was like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Yeah,
like this is the Devils trading with the Rangers. This is the Eagles trading with the Giants. It's just something you don't do or you shouldn't do, I know it's a more recent rivalry, but this is a team that has kicked you out of the playoffs the last 4 years, let's not, help them in any way, shape or form, even if you think it does somehow help your team more. And that seemed to be what the thought process was, when, you had, what's his name? Billy Beane there.
Yeah.
I heard him on the McAfee show. A lot of our stuff comes from McAfee, in case you don't know that. It's just a lot of the information we get. McAfee and Twitter. X, sorry. X,
yes.
Hearing him describe what he said, he's like, we don't, he's like, we don't concern ourselves with who they were going to pick or anything like that. We were looking to make a move based on what our needs were and what would be best for us and all those things. So I get that. And it's true. And listen, there's no guarantee there that who'd they get? Xavier Worthy, who was ran, I think, the fastest 40 time in combine history.
Yeah.
So everybody instantly started making the comparisons to Tyreek Hill and, the Chiefs got another speedy receiver and Mahomes can just chuck it downfield and somebody will be there again and da 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 da. But again, we don't know if he can catch the ball.
Yeah.
Like in college, no, he's fine. But again, the NFL is a different animal. Now, could he end up being another Tyreek Hill? In which case it's like, oh shit, here we go again with the Chiefs. And, the next thing we know, we got another Kelsey being very cringe on the stage and, the Hunts being very uncomfortable and Taylor Swift being super drunk on the field, which was a highlight of this past Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong. But if that turns out to happen, it's like, but especially this year, it's like, I think the other part of this where people were like, why would you do that is you need a receiver.
Yeah.
Like you don't have anybody. You got rid of Stephon Diggs. You don't have anybody else in the receiver room. Like you need somebody. So why not take that pick? Why not take Xavier or another wide receiver that you might like? Maybe a Ricky Purcell, maybe a Xavier Leggett.
Yeah.
Somebody like that. Why don't you take somebody that you could use in that case? And I think that was what everybody was thinking about. But at the end of the day, you know, we don't know. Like I said, when it comes to the draft, we don't know.
Yeah,
we're not going to know until 2 or 3 years from now who's good, who's not. Like if you heard everybody talking in what was that 2021 about Zach Wilson and Trey Lance and all these other guys, even to the fact that Trevor Lawrence, who kind of regressed last year.
Yeah.
Like you need to, I think everybody needs to pump the brakes. I think everybody needs to just, you know, when it comes to the draft picks, relax, let it work out. But that's not the business we're in. That's yeah. You know, I'd like to say we're in a business. We're not. We don't make any money here, but
not yet.
This is you know what the whole punditry thing is like you have to have a instant reaction. It has to be, what's your hot take? What is this? Bang, 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 bang. You gotta, oh, this happened. What do you think? Da, 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 da. And it's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know yet. Like, so, like some people say, like Caleb Williams is a can't miss. Are you sure about that?
I mean, if you look at that offense.
You know, now the Bears have put together an offense that looks on paper really good.
I mean, I could
if
see
I'm Justin Fields, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Because my whole time there, I had jack and shit to work with, and now you ship me out for Caleb Williams, and now you build a fucking offense around it? Like, I would feel kind of jilted in that situation.
Yeah.
It's like, why couldn't I have gotten that? So that's a, you know, but again, you know, has Caleb Williams shown the ability to, you know, I think a lot of people question his mental toughness. You know, we saw in college when everything was going his way. Yeah, he looks great.
Yeah.
But when things started not going his way, he would have a tendency to kind of fall apart.
Yeah.
We saw in both games he played against Notre Dame. You know, the first one that in LA where he had his fingernails painted with fuck the Irish or fuck Notre Dame, whatever it was. And Notre Dame smacked him around there. And it was, you know, like he didn't seem to be able to recover from that, you know. And then they played this year and USC sought to be a lot higher up. People were very high on them. They were high up in the rankings. And then they lose a couple games and then they go and visit Notre Dame. And I'm, you know, me and you being Notre Dame fans, we're sitting there, we're worried about that game. We're like, oh boy, yeah. Notre Dame is, you know, especially after, you know, we lost to Louisville and it was like, we had already lost to Ohio State. So I was like, ah, damn it. The season's done already. We lost, you know, we couldn't have lost that game to Louisville and all this other stuff. And then we play USC and what'd he throw, 3 or 4 picks in the first half?
Yeah, we made like, him our bitch.
It was like, it once something went wrong, it was a snowball. Like it just, like he just fell off.
Yeah.
So like he can paint his nails. He can do the whole wearing dresses and weird fashion things that he does and all the other things. Is he going to be mentally tough enough to win a game in the NFL and to suffer a little bit? You know, listen, a rookie in the NFL, it's not going to be all sunshine and roses.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to go through some tough spots. Is he going to be able to do that? Some people say yes. Some people are saying not, you know, don't worry about all the other distractions. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the clip of him crying in his mother's arms at the end of the one USC game when they lost and all the other stuff. It's like, okay, that's fine. But also, you can't sit there and then yell at other people for questioning that and looking at all the extracurriculars and then being like, I don't know. Does he like talent wise? Caleb Williams is a great talent. You don't win the Heisman Trophy if you don't have talent.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know, that is what it is. But as we've seen in the NFL, not a lot of Heisman winners do very well. Joe Burrow has, if he can stay healthy, Joe Burrow does very well.
Yeah.
But outside of him, I can't remember the last Heisman winner that did that, that really did well, that most people consider to have done well in the NFL.
I think, Thursday, you know, Thursday night during the draft, I think we talked about it a little bit. And the only quarterback that comes to my mind is Carson Palmer was the last Heisman winner to be successful in the NFL. So, I mean, you go from Carson to Joe Burrow, and that's, what, 10 years, 12 years a gap between the two of them? So
I'll tell you what, man. Cincinnati, like for the longest time they were the Bungles, and they were made fun of for being such a terrible and awful team. But I would say for like this century, for like I want to say like the last 20 years, they've been a relatively good team.
Yeah,
they've been in the playoffs regularly. They've gone to a Super Bowl now and maybe should have won it. I mean, that was just Aaron Donald took over that last drive.
And
plus, I don't know, that last Rams drive where the referees gave him like six chances to score a touchdown. I'm sorry. I'm still like, I'm not even a Bengals fan. I'm like, that's a little much. But be that as may, like they seem to be one of those teams that's kind of like, you still have it in your mind of them being the Bungles.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, like for the last 20 years, they've been pretty good. I think I might just be old. I think it might be my age, like our age. I'm sure somebody like there's some kid who's like, 17 years old, 20 years old, just in high school or something like that. People who have grown up only in this century would look at the Bengals not being that. They would see the Bengals as, one of those teams that's always like, oh, they're a good team. They're always in the playoffs, at least anyway. Made it to the Super Bowl. Whereas, when I was growing up, when I was a real little kid, that's when they were in the Super Bowl with Boomer Esiason. Then there was the 90s. And the early 2000s, where they were atrocious, that was the Bungles.
Yeah,
when they were picking Akili Smith at number one.
I was trying to remember what the quarterback was for that class for the Bengals.
Yeah, Akili Smith, baby.
Talk about that class: Akili Smith, Tim Couch, McNabb. That had potential to be like one of the greatest quarterback classes ever. And
Philadelphia never deserved McNabb. When you guys booed him because he wasn't Ricky Williams,
I did not guys, boo him. I wanted McNabb from the get go.
You know, but you as a collective,
yes, I'll say that
as an amoeba, which is the Philadelphia sports fan base. And I just saw a recap of that particular draft, and just seeing you guys lose your minds in Radio City. Oh, we don't know what we're doing. Oh, we're so terrible. Oh, this is where, what are we doing? It's like, and part of me also goes back to, like, you guys were wanting Ricky Williams. You guys wanted, like, rule one is never pick a running back that high.
Yeah.
Ever. The Giants learned that mistake with Saquon. Again, when we picked Saquon, that was my first thing I said. I was like, man, don't, like, you have the number two pick and you're picking a running back. Like, I get it, he's good,
yeah,
but he's not second overall pick good, and he wasn't.
Yeah,
he was always injured and he was inconsistent at best when he was on the field. Good luck with him, by the way.
2,000 yard rusher coming in.
I don't know, we'll see. I hope not. Like I said, here's the other thing that makes me happy too, and you made me aware of this a little ago. I think the talisman, the magic charm, is finally gone. It's like Harry Potter breaking a Horcrux here, with Boston Scott no longer being on the Eagles. Now he signed with the Rams out in LA on a 1-year deal. And you were like, ha ha, well, you got to play the Rams this year. But I think it's a double thing. Boston Scott needed the Eagles, and the Eagles needed Boston Scott. And without either one of them, the whole giant killer thing just fades. Like, it's just, it's not there. So I think this is it. This is our shot. This is our chance to.
I'm taking this a step further. Patriots did Bill make Tom, or did Tom make Bill? Well, did Boston make the Eagles, or did Eagles make Boston? So we will see when you play the Rams and you score six touchdowns that Boston made the Eagles.
We'll say, this is what I mean. Is it, I almost feel like it's kind of the Lord of the Rings thing. It's Boston Scott was the one ring, and the Eagles were Sauron, and it's just like now the ring is separated. Sauron is not as powerful without the ring, and the ring can't do anything without Sauron. So he's all the way out there. So hopefully that evil dark magic in Mordor, otherwise known as Philadelphia, is finally over, and the Giants can get one up on you. And don't forget, the belt resides here, man, because of that last game, you guys screwed up so badly. I still got that belt, baby.
So last year, did you guys sweep us, or did we win the first game?
You won the first game.
Okay.
You won the first game rather convincingly. No, not convincingly. That's right. It was a close game.
Yeah.
It was because I forgot we played twice in 3 weeks. I forgot they scheduled that weirdly. So I was thinking a year before. We played the first game was Christmas Day, I think. In Philadelphia.
Yes, that's
and
right.
It came down to the last drive. There was pass interference in the end zone. They didn't call. There was another pass interference on Hyatt down the sidelines. They didn't call. There was a whole that was a day.
If it was a pass interference, they would have called it. So obviously it wasn't pass interference.
So what was that? I think it was like a 6-point game. It was either 6 or 8. I think it was 8. I think it might have been 8-point game. And then the last game of the year there,
you played the local high school team.
Played you. And no, not in the first half. That first half was all starters, baby.
Nah.
That first half was all starters, and that's when the Giants kicked your ass. It was only after you put in the second and third stringers that the Eagles actually did anything.
We let the local high schoolers wear the starters' jerseys.
No, Nicholas, don't even start that. Like, that's the whole thing I always play. Philadelphia fans are always like that. Yo, well, we didn't have our starters in. Yes, the fuck you did. Yes, you did. It was only after the second half that you took them out. Like, the second half, you took everybody out, and then it was like, oh, now you score. Now you do things. But we still won by more than 8, so I still got the belt, so I don't give a shit. But I'm hoping that there's some improvement. The Giants, I think, improved on the offensive line. Again, I don't think we did any – I don't think we have pro ballers on the offensive line, but I think we were improved. Again, I don't think you get any worse.
I was going to say.
I like having Malik Nabers. It gives us a legitimate weapon, and plus I do like our young guys we have at receiver. I like Hyatt. I like why can't I remember his name now? Old age sucks. damn it! Why can't I remember his goddamn name?
Now you still don't know what's going on with the tight end position, though, right?
Because Waller doesn't know what he's doing. You know, he still might retire. He might not. I don't know.
I mean, at some point as a team, you gotta be like, listen, dude, here's the deadline day. You gotta let us know what you're doing so we could do something.
But I don't know how that works as far as like the cap or with, you know, hitting anything like that. Like, I'm not sure how that works. Let me see here.
Because
what do we have as far as time?
He's in his first year of that 3-year contract he signed. The first year of the extension. That he signed, I saw.
Let's see. I hope everybody can hear the great construction we got going on back here. What do we have at tight end? Do we still have Bellinger?
Oh, you know what? You signed an Eagle tight end, Jack Stahl. He's not Waller.
I do see that they have. We have as far as like our backup third string practice squad tight ends, we have Theo Johnson, Jack Stahl, Chris Manhertz, Lawrence Cager, and Tyree Jackson. We still have listed as starters Darren Waller and Daniel Bellinger as the tight end two, which I like Bellinger. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't sure if we still had him or not.
Yeah.
But this says we do, so I'll take it. Like, again, Waller didn't really produce that much.
Yeah. That could have been because of the quarterback play of, you know, you go from Daniel Jones down to Tyrod and DeVito, which isn't, you know, they're not equal to Danny Dimes.
Plus apparently because he got traded away from his girl and, the wife and everything, so now they're getting a divorce, so apparently there was problems.
Oh, really?
You know. Yeah, you know, good old Josh McDaniels still just being a douchebag and breaking people up because he didn't get invited to the wedding. So he traded his ass to the Giants while his wife, girlfriend, then, you know, and now, you know, or now soon to be ex-wife, was playing out there for the Las Vegas Aces of the WNBA. And, that was the whole thing. They were both living out there together. They were doing everything there together. So they figured they'd get married. They got married. Didn't invite Josh because he's an asshole. And then he gets traded to the Giants because, fuck you. But I guess, long distance relationships, man, they're hard. Can't do them. And it broke up a marriage. So Josh McDaniels gets another piece of the douchebag puzzle right there. You know, and I'm sure some will say, you know, maybe save both of them a favor. It, clearly they weren't right for each other. But no, Josh McDaniels is just a douchebag.
Yeah, you look at his track record. Yeah. Look at his track record and you'll see he's just not good all around.
He's just not a good person. He's just not a good person. He's not somebody you want to be around. He's not somebody you want to hang around. He's just a piece of shit. So
now, you know, I did say on Thursday during a draft, I believe it was, you know, with you guys taking Malik Nabers, us taking, at the time, just Quentin Mitchell, I wasn't even thinking about, I've been calling him Deshaun, but it's Dijon? Because I believe it's spelled just like Deshaun Jackson's name, so that's what I was saying, Deshaun.
Who? Your new white boy?
Yeah, our Jason Sehorn.
Cooper Dijon.
Dijon, okay.
D-E-J-E-A-N. Dijon. Almost like Dijon mustard.
Okay, so guys, don't get drunk when you're going to try to read a last name, because I swear I saw an S in there, not the J. But I did say this could be now, like, you know, before me and King start the podcast and everything, you know, what? 6 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever.
We originally started in 2016.
So about 8 years ago.
There was a hiatus, and then you reinvented it, restarted it in 2018. Yeah. So it's been 6 years since the original formation of Stay Tuned Sports,
yes.
And 6 years since you reformed it. Yes.
So before that, you know, Michael Strahan was playing, John Runyon was playing. They were the greatest battles that me and him got to watch together at the bar or, you know, at my apartment, whatever. And then Runyon retired. I think Runyon retired first.
Strahan retired before we ever met.
Oh, that's okay.
Strahan retired after Super Bowl 42. He got his Super Bowl and was out.
That's right, but I remember us talking about the battles, and at the time was the only thing Eagles-Giants related that we could agree to.
We agreed on that. The Strahan versus Runyon was the epic battle between those two teams, always, yeah.
And I feel, and I kind of hope, that this Malik Nabers and Quentin Mitchell could be possibly our new John Runyon-Michael Strahan rivalry, which you guys will make great content when you guys watch this duties live with the Eagles Giants game, because computers may get thrown, cameras may get thrown.
You're going to see how obnoxious I really can be.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll post that clip. Maybe we'll cut right here and post that clip. I don't know. I liked Cooper Dijon. And it's funny because he kind of got that question that Doug Williams got in Super Bowl 22. It was like, how does it feel to be a black quarterback? He kind of got that question. It's like, you know, you're coming to the league and you're a white cornerback. How does it feel? How do you think you're going to be able to handle that being like, you know, you're white? And it's like,
yeah,
what kind of question is that? Like, what are we doing? Like,
and that was from a Philadelphia reporter. So I don't even know his name. I heard it, and I was even looking at it like, you are a fucking scumbag. Like, why ask something like this on?
It's just
the kid is so happy to be drafted.
It's a drafter. It's like, yeah, like, you know, congratulations on being drafted, but come on, you're white. Like, come on. Yeah. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, you know, part of me, and here's the thing, part of me is scared that he's your Jason Sehorn.
I mean, they just showed. I got Pat on in the background, and they were talking about Marvin Harrison not signing his NFLPA deal yet.
The NFLPA deal, right.
And they showed a clip of Marvin and Dijon covering him during the one game last year, and Dijon owned him. I'm like, holy shit. I knew he was good.
That's what I mean.
But
that's what I mean. It's like he's a good player.
Yeah.
He's a good player. So that's my worry. It's like, you know, yeah, we got Malik Nabers and everybody's talking about Quinion Mitchell, but it's like, if you try to move Malik over there, and all of a sudden you get like that's why I think a lot of people are pissed at the goddamn Eagles. It's just like, it's like everything just falls into your goddamn lap. Everything. It's like you got two starting cornerbacks in the draft. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
I love the clip of Michael Parsons. Michael Parsons losing his shit too. They always get so freaking lucky.
He wasn't the only one. He's not the only one. And I think we addressed that too on the live stream. It's like, son of a bitch. It's just like you get everything that's right. Because when they first made the pick and I saw it wasn't the guy you wanted, I was getting ready to go, ah, ha, ha. And I was like, oh, no, wait, this guy's a consensus, like, number one pick for quarterback. Fuck!
And that's what's funny about Dejan was a lot of the mock drafts had us taking him in the first round, you know, 20, 21, whatever we were, and we got both of them.
I think a lot of people, I think, were thinking he was going to go in the first round to somewhere, especially in the later picks. And then when he made it all the way to round two, and then it just, you know, everybody else kept dropping, you know, like the Bills did get their wide receiver finally at 33 there with the number one pick in the second draft from wide receiver from Florida State, Keon Coleman. And then, you know, it's like, it just keeps on going down. Okay. Chargers got a Ladd McConkey from Georgia. Okay. They needed somebody because they don't have any receivers there. And it's like, okay, well, there's, well, okay. No, no. Okay. What the Washington? Oh, no. Okay. Titans didn't do, okay. Rams. And it's like, nope. The Eagles are like, well, nobody else wants it. We'll take them. Son of a bitch.
The only pick in the Eagles draft that it's going to set, well, a lot of stuff I say is sounds weird, but I'm happy we got him. I'm just nervous that we drafted him because of who he is. And that was Jeremiah Trial Jr. I mean, granted, it's a fifth round pick, so it's like a low risk, reward type deal.
Right. I get that. And it's a legacy pick, you know. It's kind of like, but you look at it like Joey Porter Jr. with the Steelers, you know.
Yeah.
And now you have Jeremiah Trotter Jr. with the Eagles. And I'm sure the Colts really wanted to get Marvin Harrison Jr., but the Cardinals were not giving up that fucking pick.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't going to happen. So,
it was
kind of, I would have liked to have seen it, but, like, you know, it's not college.
Yeah.
You don't get to choose where you go. You got to go where you go, you know. And, I mean, I guess unless you're Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, what's going on with him? Because I saw someone post, does Sanders not know that like people don't pay attention to his Twitter or whatever?
One of the Colorado players who hit the transfer portal was like, Deion Sanders is he's a terrible coach. He just came up to me one day and was like, yeah, you should hit the portal. And he's like, he never even tried to get to know me. He didn't even try to help me. He didn't try to coach me. He was just like, nah, just get out. We don't want you here. And he's like, you know, he didn't even know if I could play or not. He didn't even see if I could play or not. He's just, he didn't give a shit. Like, there was no communication. There's no compassion. There's no coaching ability. There was nothing there.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, it was kind of shitty. It was just kind of a shitty deal, a shitty experience. And so Shedeur goes on and, you know, he's, you know, says shit like, oh, well, if you were good enough, you'd still be here or something. Like, you know, goodbye, see you later, you know. And it's like, I don't know about that one.
I mean,
I don't know about that. Like, you're supposed to be a quarterback. You're supposed to be, you know, even at, like, there's a different attitude. There's different ways to do things like that.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, like, listen, last year I was one of the ones that were super excited about Colorado and Deion Sanders and thought he was doing a great job of bringing back a program that was dead.
Yeah.
You know, and not good and all that stuff. I was like, wow, what a great story. What an interesting story. Now, of course, after their first 3-4 games, they went straight the fuck downhill. And I think everybody kind of saw that happening. I was like, well, you know, it's a hype train. It's going to happen. They weren't going to be great all at once. But then you start hearing stories like this, and you start seeing things like that, and you start hearing, and you see how his son acts, and you see how he acts, and it's like, it starts leaving a bad taste in your mouth, you know?
I mean,
and I don't want to have a bad taste in my mouth. I like Deion.
Yeah.
I like everything about, you know, listen, I've always been one that's like, listen, I love it. I love drama. I love somebody who's going to talk their shit. But if you're going to talk your shit, you got to back it up.
Yeah.
And they didn't really back it up last year.
No.
So, like, if you're going to do shit like that, and then, you know, you have Shador was coming out. What, he opened up a rap concert for somebody out there or something. And it's like, oh, he's got, that's, you know, fine. That's whatever. But, you know, and nobody's telling you not to have fun. Nobody's telling you not to have a life outside of football.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're gonna talk shit, at least make it look like you give a shit.
Yeah.
And if you're gonna talk shit, you got to back it up. And Colorado hasn't done that. So, again, it's kind of leaving a bit of a sour taste in the mouth. But you know,
here's the only thing
we'll see.
The one thing I'll say is, one aspect of it as a coach, I'm okay with how Deion handled that. I mean, okay, maybe he sees this kid can take his talent somewhere else and be a starter where he wouldn't be a starter on Colorado. And for the kid to be like, you know, he showed no compassion, this and that. Prime isn't getting paid to show overly, you know, be, oh, here's a shoulder to cry on. You know, he's a football coach. He's got to put his best players out there. Now, on the flip side of that, all this, you know, look at me type, antics and everything, that's how Deion was throughout his whole career, so we can't be surprised that these type of stories are coming out.
I don't think it's a case of being surprised, but I also think, like, this is the issue and this is the problem now that you've introduced money into college football. Yeah. As far as the players go,
yeah,
is instead of it becoming like a place where you can learn and grow your game and get better and have a coach coaching you to actually be better, and not just football, but in life and in the real world and all that stuff, it has become a mini NFL in that aspect. And I think that's part of the, you know, listen, I'm glad that we're seeing some of the kids get some of the revenue for this and for their name, image, and likeness and all that. That's fine. That's great. But now we're starting to see where it's now turning into, well, it's a business, even for these kids, these 17, 18, 19-year-old kids coming in there. And it's like, instead of now coming into a program and being able to work your way up and being able to get better each year and get good coaching, now it's, well, we need people in here, transfer portal. We need good people in here now. If you're not good, hit the portal, get out. We don't need you. And it's like, you have now no room to grow in a program. You don't have any, there's no loyalty to programs. There's no, yeah, you know, oh, I went to UNC and I'm a UNC guy. It's no, I jump around to where I'm needed. It's a free agency, free for all. That overall hurts, I think, especially for players who need to get that extra bit of coaching, to get that experience, to get better each season, each year, each week, to have that ability. And if you have a coach, you know, looking at it like Deion Sanders, who is worried about you going out there and just executing the plays the way he tells you to and not trying to actually coach you up and make you better.
Yeah.
He's already expecting you to be at that level. Like, that's a problem. And it's not just him. It's not just Colorado. This is something that's going wrong. And I think that's why you saw Saban retired. I think that's why you're seeing a lot of these, a lot of the other coaches are kind of stepping out and stepping aside and just, you know, it's because it's becoming coaching the NFL. It's becoming, you can't, what do you tell, well, how do you try to coach a kid who's 18 years old and is making $2 million in NIL?
Yeah.
You know, and tell him, okay, well, we're going to sit you until you're better. All right. And I'm going to hit the transfer portal and go somewhere else. It's like,
and I think that's the first step they need to do is start putting how many times you could transfer, how many times you could enter the transfer portal. I mean, you look at Hartman from Notre Dame. He transferred like four different times. He was like 75 when he left Notre Dame. Spencer Rattler from the Razorbacks, I believe is his last team. He transferred like
South Carolina.
South Carolina. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's right.
Because he was Oklahoma. Yeah. Then he was I forget where else he was. I think he had a couple other shots before he ended up in South Carolina.
Yeah,
too.
And they need to put a limit on that.
Well, this is what I mean. This is where I think you're starting to see. A couple months ago, there was that news release that there was that group that was exploring what the possibility of having a college football set up separate from the NCAA or anything like that. Because college football really is separate from the NCAA. Anyway, the NCAA really doesn't have any impact on college football.
Yeah.
But basically, like trying to restructure it, get rid of the conferences, have like 10-team conferences. You would have 7 10-team conferences and another 10-team conference made up of rest of 5 schools that would be like a relegation conference. So you would have teams that could come up from what would be Division II.
Yeah.
Come up into that division, other teams from there leave there, and that would be like a promotion relegation division.
Yeah,
and the other 7 would be the permanent ones. So you'd have like what would ostensibly be like the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, Pac-10, Big 12. And throw a couple else in there because you'd have to chop it up between the 10. But I think it's a good idea. And also with that would be transfer portal rules. With that would be, payment guidelines, NIL guidelines, basically what would be a salary cap, what would be, things like that. Set that all in there. And basically then set it up like it would be a minor league, which is unfortunately what college football is now anyway.
Yeah.
But just instead of trying to fucking pretend it's not, just, rip the rest of the dress off. And let it be what it is, maybe a bad euphemism, maybe rip the Band-Aid off, something a little less creepy. I apologize for that. But you know what I mean? Like, stop trying to have the facade.
Yeah.
That this is, student athletes and college football is for half these kids can't read coming out of fucking college.
Yeah.
All right. Let's be honest. So let's do away with that. If that's what we're going to do, fine. But let's then set it up.
Yeah.
Let's set up the, get rid of this whole con. But here's the thing is you got to try to get the conferences to then say, okay, we'll cease being a conference and then do their own thing. And then you'd also have to be like, okay, well, there's no more bowls, which again, what is the point of the bowls now anyway? Now that we have 12 teams, soon to be 14, in the playoffs, it's like, okay, so what is the point? Like, get everybody, get a hotel room for a week, sit everybody down in there, discuss it, work on all your legalities, work on all the revenue sharing and who does this, bring in ESPN and Fox and CBS and NBC and all the people who have the college football rights, and talk to them about how to restructure the deals and do all that kind of stuff, because that's another part of this we got to think too, is like all these other, the networks have million and billion dollar deals here.
Yeah.
With college football, with the different conferences and all that kind of stuff. Find a way, like, listen, this is why lawyers make big money. Get the lawyers in there, get the people in there, talk about it, hammer it out, and let's move forward, because college football, the way it is now, cannot survive.
Yeah.
It cannot survive the way it is now. It cannot live this way. It cannot function this way. It will die. And you've already seen some of it.
Yeah.
So the only way to change it is, and I've been saying this for a while now, of getting rid of the current conference format, having it set up kind of like this, having like, the divisions. And I like this, I think it's called College Football Tomorrow.
Okay.
Is the name of the organization that is trying to put this all together. I think it's a great idea, again, because it's similar to something I had. So, of course, I think it's a great idea. But, yeah, do that. Then, because set it up. Then you have, set up as like, set up as CFP, the College Football Playoff, whatever you want to set it up as. College Football America, however you want to do it. settled like that, because then you could set it up to where you have collective bargaining. You can have the kids in a fucking union and, you know, set up like a true minor league, because that's what the fuck it is. Set it up like that, you know, and roll with it that way. Set up, have transfer portal limits. You can only transfer once every 2 years or something. You can only do this under special circumstances. You know, set up all the rules. Set up what the NIL is. Set up what can the schools pay.
Yeah.
You know, is there going to have a central pool for that? Because they've been talking about doing that as well. Have a central pool between the teams, and then from that it gets divvied up so that there's no one team that has an extreme advantage over another. Because if you did that, like Alabama and Michigan and Ohio State would just roll over everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to try to find a way to make that, you know, a little bit more competitive. So if you do that, you set up to like that, these are the limits. Everybody gets the same amount of money to spend on these student athletes, and go from there. I think that's all great. That's the way to go with this. The only thing I think that'll hold it up is always the money and the TV networks, which is, of course, is the money.
Yeah.
So I think if you work with that, if you work with the conferences, if you can get the conferences on board, and then from the conference standpoint, like you can get the you can get the networks on board. Like the only way I think you get the conferences on board is if you tell, like, you know, Greg Sankey and like the Big Ten commissioner and some of these other, you know, the other conference ones, is like, here, we'll have, you guys will still have jobs. We'll make it like you guys will be part of the, you know, Central College Football Committee. It's like a Soviet. You'll love it. communism. Like, do that. Like, you guys will still have jobs. You'll still be important. You'll still be decision makers for everything. It just won't be under the SEC banner. It won't be under the Big Ten banner. It'll be under the college football banner.
Yeah.
Like, I think as long as you give them the idea that they still have a say, they're still important, and they still get money, that they'll buy into it. And then it's just working on how do you restructure the deals with the networks.
Yeah.
And figure all that out. And that's going to be the sticky wicket, as they say. But I think that that's going to have to be the way we go with college football.
So switching up a little bit, have you watched any, I'm assuming you've watched some hockey playoff.
I've been catching it here or there. Disappointed that the Rangers swept the Capitals. Thanks a lot. Fucking Ovechkin didn't even fucking score. Didn't do nothing. The Capitals useless. Useless.
Did you see the Winnipeg Jets player get smacked in the face? I think it was over the weekend with the puck.
I did not, actually. Oh, dude, I did not see that.
It was brutal.
That's hockey, baby. That's hockey.
Slap shot. Basically, I mean, when I say slap shot, it was a slap shot.
Yeah.
Just a bad bounce. It was going to be low, so he went to jump up to make sure it goes underneath him, and it just bounced off somebody and came right up. I didn't hear, you know, what all happened to him. I mean, they start to get the stretcher out onto the ice, and dude just got helped off the ice. I mean, he was hunched over with towels and everything on his face, but they showed a replay of it, and his whole helmet went whoop and came back down. Like, I mean, it was scary. But
that's fine. He'll stitch him up. He'll stitch him up. He's back out there. Well, I mean, not now because the Jets are eliminated, but Colorado eliminated yesterday. The Islanders got eliminated as well by Carolina, which is another thing that sucks because now the Rangers will play the Hurricanes, and I hate both these fucking teams. especially, I mean, now it's more reason to hate the Rangers because they're going to make me root for the goddamn Hurricanes, which is goddamn bullshit. you know, it's a shame. I liked Winnipeg. Winnipeg's crowd was, their arena was lit.
Yeah,
as the kids say, that was a fun environment. Good to see. Unfortunately, they only won one game, so that is what it is. Dallas and Vegas having a pretty good series. I think they're 2-2. They're tied up 2-2. Nashville and Vancouver tied 2-2. So you got some real interesting games left, though.
Do you think Boston is back to choking it away?
No.
You think they're going to close it out?
No. Yeah, they're playing Toronto. So, like, even if you choke, nobody chokes like Toronto.
Sure.
The Maple Leafs are who the Maple Leafs are, and until the Maple Leafs will, the Maple Leafs won't. I can't believe that the Leafs won't choke until they don't choke.
Yeah.
And I just think they're going to choke, you know. And again, is it a choke when Boston is a higher seed? I don't think so. You know, it's not really a choke if the Boston beats the Leafs. It's just the Leafs fans constantly saying every year that again, they're the Dallas Cowboys of the NHL. This is our year. This is our year. This is our year. And they never make it out of the first round.
Yeah.
So, again, they lost, the Bruins lost yesterday in overtime. Again, when you get to overtime in the playoffs, it is what it is. Like, that's, you know, you get a bounce here, a lucky break there. And sometimes it's all you need. That's all you need. But, and here's the thing. They won the game without Austin Matthews. Yeah. So, I mean, if I'm Boston, that's something where I maybe take a pause with. But Boston, oh, their goaltending is better. Boston, talent-wise, I think is better. If I'm Boston, you have to come out in Toronto and shut them up early and get out there. I don't know if you want to bring it to a game seven. Clearly you don't.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of pressure on Boston if it goes to a game seven.
I see. I kind of see the same thing with to switch over to basketball a second, with the Knicks and the Sixers.
Yeah.
The Knicks missed a free throw last night that would have put them up by two possessions. Instead, what'd you have, you guys there? Maxine, whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah, Maxine.
He hits the three at the end there, sends it to overtime, and then the Sixers just pull away from there and win the game. Now, overall, do I think that the Sixers will beat the Knicks? No, I think the Knicks are a better team. I think the Knicks can go down to Philadelphia, as we've seen before, and win down there, and I think that's probably what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Although the game is starting at like 9:30 at night tomorrow.
Why?
Like,
that's the East Coast teams.
NBA, what are we doing? I think somebody said that it was because the one Western series was already done, so they needed to fill a time slot. It's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You don't like, I'm sorry. You're starting a game at 9:30 on the East Coast?
Put a replay of a game.
That game's not going to. Yeah, the game's not going to be over. Like, that's when the game is ending.
Yeah.
Is 9:30. That game should be starting at 7:30 the latest.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is what it is. But I think, I think the Knicks are a better team. I think the Knicks will win that. And I think of the same way with the Bruins and the Leafs. Until the Leafs can prove otherwise, I don't think the Bruins are choking this one away yet. If they do, I mean, then it'll be interesting seeing Florida get absolutely mollywopped by Florida, and we'll see. And that may happen to Boston anyway.
Yeah.
Because Florida is, they went to the Cup Finals last year, lost to Vegas, but that team is still good. So who would have figured? You know, go Cats, the Cats there, kitty go meow, as Tom Grossi would say. But yeah, no. So, I mean, the NHL playoffs are always the best. I love it. You know, I usually am not into the NBA, but the Islanders were getting their ass kicked last night, and there was really nothing else on. So I, you know, turned the Knicks on. And, you know, being from the New York area, I wouldn't mind seeing the Knicks do well. Like I said, I grew up in Jersey. So I kind of like the only time I really paid attention to the NBA was when the Nets were doing well.
Yeah.
Or if the Knicks were doing well. And now since the Nets are gone and I don't give a shit about them anymore, I'd like to see the Knicks do something. Not for Dolan, because he's a piece of shit.
I can't believe he hasn't sold the team yet.
Why would he? He makes money hand over fist beside himself.
And
you know,
he owns the arena, don't he? Doesn't he own the arena?
Yes, okay. He owns MSG. He owns a couple theaters. He owns the Jacob Javits Center, I believe.
Yeah.
Like anything. He owns the Sphere out in Vegas.
Oh, really? I didn't know he
that's an MSG prop. Yeah, it's an MSG property.
Okay.
So like MSG, yeah. He owns all. But he's also the one that basically kicked the NFL out of Radio City and made the NFL do the traveling draft, which in the end has turned out to be something the NFL has really loved and embraced. So, yeah. I mean, in that sense, I guess, thank you.
Yeah, Yeah, because what they say for Detroit, the first day was like 700,000+ people there.
No, first overall they had 780,000 people for the 3 days.
Yeah,
the first day I think was over 250, like 270,000 people or something.
Yeah,
something around that number, which is incredible. But the TV numbers were not great.
No, I didn't see anything about the TV numbers.
The TV numbers were down. I think this one they said a day two, especially like day one was down. I think they said like a couple of percentage points from last year, and day two was down 15 to 20% from last year, but as far as viewership.
You know, like you gotta chalk that up to like what me and you were talking about Thursday. Like the broadcast started at what 8 o'clock, so we're like, okay, you know. Bears are on the clock, and we're talking. It's 5 after 8, and me and you are like, you know, why aren't the Bears taking the pick? We know who they're taking. And then Goodell comes out at 7:45, says, and the Bears are on the clock. So you already wasted 15 minutes there.
And then you got to waste another 15 minutes because of the pick, and they tell them, take your time because we got to get the advertisers in. We got to get the commercials in.
Like, you know, this kind of goes up there with baseball. You got to shorten these rounds a little bit, the picks in between.
Well, baseball's done well as far as with the pitch clock. Yeah. I think that's the best thing they've ever done. Now the only other thing they got to do is get rid of the umpires. Go to robot umps. I want robot umps so bad.
Not necessarily, you know, especially all of them. Angel Hernandez, he's got
to
go.
No, all of them. They all have to go because they're all – like Angel Hernandez is the worst, but they're all bad. He's the worst of the worst. He's the one that calls a pitch 5 feet out of the strike zone a strike. But, you know, or calls a guy has a bat on his shoulder and says he check swung. Like,
no, that's right. This wasn't Angel Hernandez, but the one up kicking out the Yankees head coach because a fan yelled at him.
Because the fan behind him yelled at him. And he's like, you're out of here. And Bo's like, I didn't say anything. He's like, I don't care. You're gone. It's like that's what I mean. Like, that's so far this year, we've seen so many things. It's like, Of the reason why it's like, just get rid of the umpires. Keep the ones on the bases because we have to see it. But even then, like, half those guys don't know what the fuck they're doing. And they'll call somebody safe when they're out or out when they're safe.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. Like, listen, we have the technology now. Do it. Like, I'm for keeping NFL refs human for the most part. Like, I don't mind having the eye in the sky. Like, kind of maybe doing the way the UFL does it. I like that idea, but keeping it mostly human. I like the NHL keeping their refs, even though they're questionable at times. I'm fine. Baseball is really the one sport where I'm like, get them out of there. We don't need them there. We don't need them there. Just have them be observers. Have them to call, like, if they hit a base, safe or not, and then also just have an eye in the sky review it.
Yeah.
And just say safe or not. And once you're able to do that, like, I know they're testing a couple of different things down in the minor leagues. They're doing one, which is the challenge system, which is basically they still have the human umps, but they also have the robot umps. And all, if a pitcher wants a challenge, he just taps his head, and it almost like a tennis match. It'll be like an instant review. They go to it, they'll show the strike zone, and it'll say either strike or not strike. And that'll be that. And you can do that. Or I know they're also, it's like half of them are doing that and half of them are doing just full robot ups.
Okay.
Just full. It's the robot strike zone. And that's what they work with. That's the one I'm in favor of. They're probably going to do the challenge, the hybrid one, because the union is something they're going to have to go with. But if I'm MLB, I'm like, listen, you guys are awful.
Yeah.
And, you know, the best way to deal with that is just, we're just not going to have umpires anymore. Goodbye. Sorry. You can have an umpires union, but we're not going to have umpires. Go screw. You guys have defended Angel Hernandez and had that, let that guy have a job for 30 years when he didn't deserve it for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And we've been having to deal with that asshole every season. And it's again, it's part of the reason why baseball is hard to watch. Now, again, like I said, the pitch clock is good. It helps speed the game up, so it makes it more digestible.
Yeah.
But it's just, again, you're still talking about 162 fucking games in a year.
That's the other thing.
Talking about these shitty umpires and just, you know, it's just that and that. Your commissioner's a piece of shit. You know, it's just it's so bad. And it sucks because, you know, like we're going to be heading into the season where there's nothing but baseball on. And it's like I really could care less because it's fucking atrocious to watch. It just is. Like, baseball games are fun to go to. You can sit and relax outside, have a nice beer, sit in the sun, you know, talk and do all that kind of shit. Like, that going to a baseball game is fun. Trying to watch a baseball game on TV is fucking tedious.
Even last year, I actually got mom out to a Scranton-Wilkes-Barre ball game. I mean, granted, the tickets I had were free, but she
used to love going to those games.
She's
too.
Not into, I mean, you know, mom. I mean, she's not into sports at all. And we're right behind the dugout, and she sat there and she had a blast.
Yeah, it's going to a game is fun.
Yeah,
I'll never say that's not. Especially you just go and relax. Like I said, you can have a beer, just nice outside on a summer day, nice hot warm summer day. Especially in the shade, get a nice breeze going.
See a former coworker and want to beat him up with a cane.
That's years ago. That's years ago.
The only thing I would say about the rule changes you were saying about the challenge system with the pitcher and the batter, last year was when the first time I saw them use that challenge system, they got to put a limit on how many challenges during an at-bat. The one dude, I'm not kidding you, he had maybe 12 balls thrown at him, and seven of them he challenged. Pitch comes in.
This is why I mean, this is why I think when it comes to that, you just need to do robot ump.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the thing. Yeah, you could do the challenge system, but every fucking pitch is either going to be the batter or the pitcher.
Yeah.
Going for the challenge. And it's just going to be like, you know, that's going to be tedious. That's going to help. That's not going to help. That's going to elongate the game. We're going to be back to 4.5 hour games.
Yeah.
You know. So that's where I think just doing a straight up robot up might be the best way to go about it.
Yeah.
Me personally, that's all I'm just going to say. Me personally, that's how I would do it. You know, but again, I'm also the fan of having the eye in the sky ref, kind of like the XFL did originally. And I think the UFL has some version of it. I think that should be in the NFL as well, where if there's an immediate call that either a ref missed or that the ref made, but it was wrong call, that it's an immediate call down, immediate fix. Just like that, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, so you can get that instant help, and it gets the calls right, quicker, faster. You know, we don't have a delay in the game. We don't have, you know, coaches having to waste a challenge. You know, we don't have any of that. And maybe you get to the point where you don't even need the challenges. That you just have the refs up there doing it right, making sure that everything on the field is a correct call. And maybe you can challenge it or not. I don't know. But that's the other thing too. I would love to see that'll never happen. Is the transparency that the UFL has and that the XFL used to, which is, you know, you hear the communication between the booth and the ref. This is what we're looking at. This is what we see. We see, oh, there, you know, there's the foot. We can see the second foot down, or we can see that the ball, we can see that the knee just is down as the balls come out. We see that so that you see it. So if you're there watching it, you can be like, okay, I see the reasoning why. Because how many times you've been watching it and you see the replay on your TV and you're like, oh, that's clear and obvious. And then they come back and do a complete opposite call. It's like, what the fuck are we doing?
And not even just sitting at home. It sounds like they're piping it through the stadium sound too. And the fans at the stadium can hear what like Dean Belindo is calling. And
Blandino Belindo? Yeah. Belindo?
I never get his name right. So I'm just going to switch it up every time I say his name.
Jimbo Gage never gets old. Jimbo Gage never gets old. Belindo. Dean Belindo. I mean, he's Italian anyway, but you made him like super Italian. Super. You got Magul Italian. Hey, Blandino? No. Baldino. Hey, Bambino. How you doing? Jesus.
Oh, jeez.
But I love that idea. Maybe not pipe it through the stadium. I get that. But... like for the TV audience, you have that so that you understand what's going on. You understand what the ref is being told, what he's seeing, what the sky ref is seeing. So there's that communication. I think that needs to happen. The NFL will never do that, but I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
But I think we'll get there eventually as far as the sky ref, as far as having the eye in the sky. And the ref being able up there, like basically being another official, Like, you know, you'll have your officials on the field, and that shit, put him in stripes. I don't care.
Yeah.
Make him wear the uniform up in the booth, but he'll be an actual game official, and he gets to have the headset and talk to all the refs and be like, no. That's a catch. That was a catch. Yep. Don't worry about it. That's the spot. Or being like, no. Nope. Never had control. That's out. Or just like being able to just expedite the game, have the calls be made right there and just be like, yep, good call. Keep going. Yep, fine. Yeah. Like just having that ability, I think is great. And we've seen it. And we've already seen the NFL adopt the kind of hybridization of the XFL UFL kickoff thing.
Yeah.
More XFL than UFLs, which I'm excited for.
Yeah, I can't wait.
We get some returns again. And we saw a couple of teams in the later rounds make picks based on a player's kind of ability to do returns.
Yeah.
Whether they were speedy, whether they had, you know, escapability, things like that, because now that's going to be a part of the game again. So that was exciting to see. I'm excited to see that some teams are actually already planning for it. They're drafting for it. I'm excited. I think that's going to be a good part. I'm still not sold on the whole making the hip drop tackle illegal, you know, making tackling illegal,
basically,
which everybody was kind of fearing already. And, you know, I know there's plenty of people out there. Jim Harbaugh is one of them that was an advocate for getting rid of the hip drop. And
I know Belichick said it.
Bill was one that wanted it too. And then you look at a lot of the other people, which is surprising because Bill's a defensive guy.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of defensive players kind of being against it, and a lot of defensive-minded coaches and people being against it. But again, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it plays out during the season. We can't, you know, we don't know until we know. Same with the draft picks, like we're talking about. We don't know how these rule changes are going to be once, until we actually see them in action. We don't know how these draft picks are going to be until we see them in action. Yeah. You know, that's what we're looking at. So hold on. So we talked about the draft. We talked about hockey. We even talked basketball.
Yeah, a little bit baseball.
A little bit of baseball. Basically, just calling the umpires pieces of shit. So I mean, that's, I don't know how much of that is baseball and just not as just shit talking. Well, me shit talking anyway. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else that's going on? We got wrestling in France coming up.
That's Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. I think it's at 2. It's like 2 o'clock this time, our time. Like, yeah, 2 or 3 o'clock our time.
I can't watch wrestling in the afternoon. I watch the replay at night. I try to watch it during the day one time, and I was just like, this feels weird. It's maybe because I'm just used to watching at night.
Well, I mean, I grew up watching like WWE Superstars and Main Event and like, you know, Saturday mornings and shit. So I could do that.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't bother me. Like, I know it's a pay-per-view and everything like that. And I can watch that. I have a hard time watching the Saudi pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Because it's Saudi Arabia. But I know they're doing King and Queen of the Ring over there this year. So, I don't know. I didn't have to watch it. I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, you never know.
Alexa Bliss still isn't back yet. I'm very upset. They brought back Braun Strowman, but not Alexa.
I saw that. When I saw Alexa didn't come back, I felt bad because I gave you hope that I saw a rumor that Alexa was supposed to come back Monday night. And
yeah, but what you see as a rumor is just some guy being on Twitter being like, I hope Alexa comes back. I heard Alexa's coming back. That's not how that works. we saw her in a gym. We don't know if she's working out to come back or not. We don't know what's going on. You know, she might just be happy at home with her kid and Ryan Cabrera in his stupid hats. You know, we don't know. That guy has entirely way too many goofy ass fucking hats.
Well, he's goofy looking to begin with.
He's just a goofy bastard. Yeah. I don't like, listen, this is, I'm not just saying this out of jealousy because, you know, Alexa Bliss, but, man, Alexa could have done, you know, I'm no great shakes. I'm not saying I'm any great shakes, but man, Alexa could have done better than Ryan Cabrera, man. Could have done better than Ryan Cabrera.
There's only one man that could save her. Josh McDaniels. He's a professional split person up, or however you want to call him.
I hate you so much. The level of hate I have for you is indescribable.
It sounded good in my head as my lips were moving, and I'm like, stop. I'm like, nope, I'm already committed.
Most things in your head sound good in your head, and then you say them. And then it's never good. It's never good.
Oh, God. This is what happens when I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I didn't get much sleep last night either. I don't know why. I just could not get to sleep. And so I'm kind of like you. I'm kind of feeling a little punchy, a little punch drunk here. But we're doing it. We're making it through. But and listen, we got about an hour in.
Yeah,
a little more than an hour, yeah. And because and we talked a lot. We talked about the draft. We talked about baseball and the shitty umps. We've talked about hockey. We've talked about basketball. We've talked about wrestling now a little bit. I'm trying to think of what else. I don't know. Taylor Swift's album's pretty good.
I mean, Travis Kelce signed a 2-year extension, but we all knew that was going to happen.
I know. He's going to be the richest tight end now in league history, which is finally Taylor can stop her $2 billion tour and just relax at home because of $40 million guarantee. As I listen, like Travis is making a lot of money. Travis has a lot of money. But compared to his girlfriend, he makes nothing.
I wonder how that conversation goes. Like, does he walk up to her and be like, hey, hon, I got a new contract. I'm the highest paid tight end. I'm making the most money in there. I'm making, you know, $20 million this year. You know, you can retire now.
Oh, how cute.
How cute. I just made that 5 seconds ago.
I mean, I released a new shirt and made that in literally 5 seconds because it sold out immediately. Like, that's cute. That's cute, honey. But to be fair, like, he's the one who bought like a $40 million bungalow.
Yeah.
Just so that they could go and bang in private, so that there wasn't any like paparazzi and people like stalking them around and shit. And it's like
banging the bungalow.
So he's it's a bang bungalow.
Bang bungalow.
And like, let's be honest. No, like that's what it was. Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to be like facetious. I think it is what it because you want to do it because like all the paparazzi and the fans and the people were outside their apartment and wherever they went out to like the bar or someplace, they were always around there and they were always doing that kind of stuff. So. And everybody knew where Travis was. So he went and literally bought a $40 million mansion just for them to get away to. Like, what are they getting away from? They're going in a bang. Let's be honest. It's what you would do if you're just meeting somebody. You're in that kind of honeymoon phase. You're going to bang.
Yeah.
You want to bang in private. So you buy a $40 million place just to go bang. And they did that. And like, so Travis is not hurting for money because like, yeah, he's got his NFL deal, but also through that, like he's done investments. He's got the endorsement deals, Mr. Pfizer and everything like that. So he's got money coming in. Like he's not hurting for it.
Yeah.
But when you look at what he's got, like, I think they said his worth is somewhere like about $100 million is what he's got. So that's $100 million. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But compared to what her net wealth is, whether it's liquid or not, it's in real estate. She owns a lot of different properties, investments and things like that too. But with her net wealth, like his $100 million is like either a little less than or just at 1% of her wealth. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, come on. It's not even fair. Like me and my wife, Jackie, we did the math on it, like of her buying stuff, like getting like a $20,000 piece of jewelry or a watch or something like that. Because of her money and what she's worth, it's literally everything to her is literally free.
Yeah.
It would be like if doing the cost conversion, it becomes like less than a cent.
Yeah.
To buy like these $20,000, $30,000, $100,000 things, it becomes like if you were literally a penny,
yeah,
it would be the equivalent for like you or me. Like it's insane. This woman's level of wealth. And granted, she built it up herself. She's the one who did it. She did the singing. She did the marketing. She did the whole thing with the fans, engagement with the fans to do the clues and, you know, all this kind of shit. Like and it's worked. It's driven a lot of her fans insane. I mean, Swifties are fucking insane. I think we all know that. And I know they're probably going to come after me, but hey, listen, your girl came after you too.
There's a song in a new album
where she absolutely shits on all the Swifties, which I found fucking hilarious. That was fantastic. But like when you look at that, and so you see the Travis Kelce deal, you're like, man, that's a lot of money. And it's like, not compared to his girl. Not compared to his girl, man. She's still wearing the britches in that household.
Oh yeah. So I guess there's nothing else then, right?
We did from the draft to the Bang Bungalow, and I'm not sure what else there's to go over. Like we've kind of hit all the marks there. It is what it is. We'll see what happens over this next week. Maybe we'll put out a couple more videos. Maybe we'll try. I don't know. Is there anything going on we could do a live for? I don't even know. Maybe we'll just do a live show one day anyway, just to fuck around.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah. And I also want to start seeing if we can start setting up lives for either the Discord, or maybe we'll start doing a Patreon. Maybe we'll do an OnlyFans. Maybe we'll do a sports, Stay Tuned Sports OnlyFans. You get the live. No nudity. You're getting no nipples over here.
Unless I break you with Jimbo Gates, then you got to take a piece of clothing off.
No, because I'll be naked by 10 minutes into the show, because your ability to talk is always going to make me laugh. But yeah, we'll do something like that, and again, we'll see. We got a couple more views on the YouTube than I was hoping. We got I think the one got 36, so yeah. That's good.
You gotta start. I mean, Taylor started somewhere. She's walk into $20 billion. Yeah, so.
If you want, dude, did you ever see the video of her when she was like 10 or 11 singing at the Sixers game, singing the national anthem at the Sixers game?
I've seen a couple of them like that. Like, wasn't there a country singer, like a major country singer, like not Toby Keith, but someone like that big, help get her into the right direction to.
Kind of right. Yeah.
Yeah, that video I saw.
There was that. There's the one of her when she was like, yeah, I want to say like 10 or 11. She was singing the national anthem at the Sixers game. Because again, she's from Reading.
Yeah.
Or that area. So she's from the Philly area.
Yeah.
You know, which, that she grew up an Eagles fan. But apparently she didn't really like football or the Eagles until she met Travi.
Yeah. Traitor.
So, but here's the thing I didn't know about. And I knew it's a couple, I want to say like 10, 15 years ago, there was a documentary on it. Well, not a like an NFL Films like short on it.
Okay.
But like there's a sizable Chiefs fan base in Philadelphia that's been there for a while.
Before Andy like, Reid or?
Before, when Andy Reid was still with the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, this is, I want to say like almost, it's like 15, 20 years ago, this NFL Films thing came out. I'm going to have to try and go and find it.
Find it. Because Dick Vermeil, send it to you.
Yeah.
Wasn't Dick Vermeil a KC coach at one point?
He was. He was a coach in St. Louis, and he was also a coach out there in Kansas City.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he had his, he had this Philly connections there as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, like there's this Chiefs ball.
Okay. One second here. We're having a little technical difficulty with my computer. All right. So somehow I lost the sound from King on the Zoom. So we're going to close out the show by saying make sure you guys head over to our YouTube channel, subscribe. And till next week, this is your good friend Jimbo and King signing out.